ready to listen to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio, your independent free speech media source. You're joining us on the 4th of January 2006. And Ionix, if you're listening, where are you? Where are you?
Ah, buddy, here I am.
Hey, dude.
I'm an American. Honest. No, it's just my bad impressions.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're listening, Ionix, get in touch.
Yeah.
You seem to have misplaced you.
ASAP. Stat. We're joined here again with Lady Sapphire.
Hello.
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 Damn it. It's like nearly time to get the hell out of here. I've already packed. Sort of. I'm thinking this is going to be one hell of a mission trying to get through passport control or checking the amount of stuff I've got in there. But it's all legitimate stuff, you know, it's just, it just looks really weird. Like,
it's all legitimate when, you know, until it's combined.
Yeah, yeah. It's
fertilizer, fuses, gasoline, they're all fine on their own.
Yeah. They're all fine on their own, yeah, but, I mean, I've got a fuckload of cables, chargers, extensions, huge aerial, Wi-Fi stuff, and all those things are legitimate stuff, but they're going to be like, it goes through X-ray. It's like, what the fuck is this? It's like, my laptop, my aerial, why is this, like, I swear, I don't know if they're going to let me carry my aerial on board, I don't know. What do you think?
Should be able to. I don't think they'll be too happy about you getting it out on board.
No, I'm not going to get it out on board, no. But I can't take it anywhere else apart from, like, hand luggage, I guess.
Yeah, it should be fine.
Well, whatever happens, it's going to be fucking interesting, so
one way to find out.
Yeah, the way it's like planning out so far, it's going to be, like, very interesting, because we'll get there and go, so what do we do now? Unless, like, Ionix just, like, pops in to IRC right, like, this minute and goes, hey, guys, blah, blah, blah. I was just hiding, yeah.
To shit you up a bit.
Yeah, just to shit, yeah.
See, the thing is, listeners, we're going to New York to see Ionix. Only problem is, we don't know exactly in New York he is. Whereabouts. If we combine all those words, yeah, it makes a great sentence.
Yeah.
We don't know where he is in New York.
At
so
all.
We're going to get there and go, now what? We're a bit stuck.
The thing is, he's not actually in New York, but it's somewhere in that state.
Yeah, it's New York State.
And even if it was like a problem of where he is, it'll be where we need to go.
And how we get there,
yeah, which is one of the kind of, just a slight. Just a tiny.
Hitchhike.
Man. As long as Planet's doing the blowjob thing.
Fuck that.
And I mean to the driver, not me.
I'm shocked and appalled, quite frankly.
Shut up.
Save it. Shut up and start sucking.
Yeah. How many times have I heard that? Oh, shit, shouldn't we?
I don't want to know.
Oh, shit, it's on.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting once we get there.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit laugh.
I mean, didn't I tell you, I said, oh, this shit's going to sneak up on me, like, I'm going to not realise the fact that it's Thursday tomorrow, which means the day after is Friday, which means it's just like shit. But every time it gets close to it, it will be like even longer, if you see what I mean. Weird things happen to your mind. Or at least, like, time tends to play tricks on you, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Just kind of rephrase that slightly, so our listeners don't think I'm a psychopathic serial killer.
You're not?
Am I not?
That's the only reason they're tuning in.
Yeah.
Psycho FM!
Who's not heard about the WMF thingy? WMF vulnerability in Microsoft?
Me.
I've heard very little about it. I saw the stories, I didn't really read them in detail. But
it's like, it's an exploit that's been around since 1990. And, I should rephrase that. It's been a vulnerability that's been around since 1990. Basically, what happens is, you click on a website and you view an image that has that exploitable remote code. Basically, what happens is, just by viewing an image, they're able to exploit remote code to run on your local machine. So, it's like it's a vulnerability, and I think it's in the WMF extension. And I think it's roughly like a buffer overflow, whereby you can gain remote access to that computer and then install anything you want in it, like, you know, a virus or a backdoor or something like that. And this is supposedly meant to be like a zero day. Everybody's gone on about a zero day and all this kind of shit. And Microsoft have released a patch for it, but they've had that patch for 7 days, and the virus, I mean, the exploit's been around for longer than that. It's just been in the public eye for the past 7 days. They still aren't releasing the patch until Tuesday. So they'll release the patch next Tuesday, which is like a bit weird. Would you not release it like right now? Where it is like with Linux is, you know, an exploit comes out, it's pretty much patched that day, and you know, you have greater security because the software is open and most of the stuff has already been fixed before it's been released. Either it's been released vulnerable in beta form, and then patched later on. So it's just ridiculous. I still don't know why people even buy this shit from Microsoft. I mean, the reason why, you know, you don't even have to be like pointed to a website for this to happen. You don't have to go, hey dude, check this link out, and then you get foxed. It's like you could be viewing a forum that somebody's attached an image with that exploit in there. It could be a blog that somebody has an image that's been attached to it. So it's quite it could be widespread. Not only that, is it that kind of way of getting an infection, but it's also being spread automatically now by bots and worms and stuff like that. So, you know.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. So, yeah, make sure you patch all your computers on Tuesday. You'll be in America on Tuesday.
I'm not leaving my computer at all.
No.
Yeah, I've got the story here. It says that there's an unofficial patch for the bug.
Oh, right.
That's been produced by expert Windows programmer Ilfak Gulfanov.
Okay.
Christ. Hell of a name there, Ilfak. It looks like you got some kind of alternative there, an unofficial patch for it. And as you say, Tuesday, Microsoft are hoping to patch it.
I don't know why it's taken them so long.
Mm. They should have a team of people sitting around just waiting
for
shit like this to come out. And they go, ah! Right, we're working all night, lads, come on!
Is it? Oh, fucking. if you check out something new that's come out on Channel 9, which is the kind of release channel for pure Windows advertising, check out Channel 9. I don't know what the URL is. I'm not going to give it out because it's, you know, just find it. It's not that worthy of me giving it out because I haven't really remembered it. There is the new video that's been released, which is an in-depth, it's called Going Deep into the Vista Kernel. And I don't know how deep they're going into it, hopefully balls deep. But yeah, it's like an insight into the kernel sort of thing. So I recommend, you know, to check that out, because there's quite a lot of cool info and stuff about Vista and how it works, and the stabilities and instabilities and securities and insecurities of the new operating system that's going to hit home later, but maybe late 2006, early 2007, whenever they decide to release the fucker.
Yeah. Cool. I think Channel 9 is one of those sites I do have to check out more often.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good video content there, it seems.
There is, yeah. Did you get that email I sent to you about 1 3-minute?
I did, yes.
Did you get enough time to check out what that was about?
I had a quick look at it, but it just basically triggered off a flashback, because I saw it when it was in... Well, when it was first released in London.
Really?
I thought, oh, that's... Well, I didn't see it physically. I saw it on the news site. And I thought, oh, that's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Hmm. And then never really thought any more of it. Hmm. I didn't really think it would take off. I didn't know it was still around.
Yeah. Well, I only found out about this today. And for anyone that's interested, go to www.1freeminute.net. To find out more information about this. Basically, the gist of it is that you can call this kind of really kind of retro-looking speakerphone that's basically mobile, and they it's like a statue. It's like a working art, which I'm really into my art, and I think this is really cool. So what happens is you call a number, and you can leave a message on their answering machine, and then what will happen is that they will go ahead and play it in public anywhere around the world. I'm not sure exactly where they play it, but you'll be, and it's so loud, I think it travels around 150 meters or something like that. Sound, it's just really quite strong, and you can basically record anything you want. It's a really cool concept of being able to give somebody a minute of freedom of speech to let some, you know, kind of whatever they want out off their chest anonymously. I might actually play the clip of the video, and there's a few things on there that just an example of kind of what is said through that speaker. Some of the stuff is like personal. It could be, you know, people just like say stuff about themselves or stuff about the government or whatever they want, really. It's kind of like this show. Anyway, this is it. I'll just fast forward it a bit because it's also quite loud. It plays that annoying Nokia ringtone when it dials.
I have pancreatic cancer, and cancer sucks.
The project for the New American Century is fucking terrifying. Read up, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Richard Pearl, they want to turn the world into their own enslaved market. So, it's called fascism, but it's a democracy, right? But it's really fascism. It's a neoconservative manifesto, newamericancentury.gov. Look it up, alright? Now on CNN, or MSNBC, alright? Try theguardian.uk, or something like
that. So yeah, that's just an example of of what it's like and what it sounds like when you're actually on the thing live. Actually, when they play that live, it is possible to actually speak live on it. Basically, what you have to do is you have to email them, and they'll actually send you a number of the day and time when to call before the next performance. They also accept MP3 files for public broadcast. So just send them an email. I think it's really cool. I think everybody should give it a go and I don't know, leave a message or whatever. I'd really like to do that right now, live on air, so we can all just leave a message. What do you think?
I have nothing clever to say, but I think it's a damn cool idea.
Yeah.
Also, they've got a UK number here on the website.
That's right.
Which is 020-7871-9533. Now, that's not the live one that you mentioned.
That's right, that's just their voicemail, yeah.
Yeah, you call that, you get put into the voicemail, and they play them at random.
Mm-hmm.
You get 1 minute to record your message. Now, something that just struck me there is 020-7871.
Yeah.
I think is a Skype-in number.
I think you might be right, yeah.
Because if you get a Skype-in account, a lot of them are 020-7871 numbers.
Yeah.
In that band.
That's right.
So they could be using Skype in for it.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're not, because it's just the simplest way to get somebody to record something, if you see what I mean. So if you're not online, it'll go directly to voicemail, and then they just record it, extract it as the MP3, and then just play it, if you see what I mean.
Absolutely. So, I'm starting to figure out ways this might work.
It's kind of cool that you just said that, because I didn't actually look into it. I just saw 0207, so I thought it's in central London. So
the 7871 thing stuck in my head. I was wondering where I remembered that from. But,
from our Skype number,
probably.
Yeah. So let's give it a go, and basically. I don't know who wants to speak, but I'd like to just say, you know, I think this idea is fantastic, blah, blah, blah. And if you're interested in... I don't know, I want to spam it with our radio station. So.
That's not it. Pimp the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, remember, it's a minute. I called it earlier, and I didn't actually leave it. I just put down as soon as the thing went beep. So as soon as it goes beep, we'll just... I'll just start talking, and then whoever wants to say something can drop in as well. Okay, here we go. Do do do. Come on, go to voicemail.
Is there anyone home?
Well, you'd hope that there isn't. It's like, hello. You're trying to leave a message, well, you asshole. That's really weird. It's not going to voicemail. It was going to voicemail when I was calling it from my Vonage phone. Weird. Okay, what I'll do is I will call it from Vonage and put it on speakerphone. It's not very interesting on speakerphone, but... 3-3. But at least you'll be able to hear what's going on with it. And I'll just leave a message, okay?
Nice one.
Cool. Hello, this is Bilal from hackervoiceradio.co.uk. And I'd just like to say I love 1-3 minutes, and I think it is a fantastic idea. So for more information, about me and about Hacker Voice Radio.
3 minutes is a mobile sculpture designed to allow for anonymous public...
Oh, fuck's sake.
You can leave a message here to be broadcast in the public soundscape. What can you say? Well,
noob.
Anything you want. Messages left at this number are completely anonymous. You can leave a message of up to a minute, and we won't edit it. If your message is
that's
over,
good, I fucked it up anyway.
Cut it down to be a minute long. After you leave a message, we'll broadcast your speech in public space during the next 1 3-minute performance, and then make it available through the 1 3-minute project at www.1freeminute.net. Okay, are you ready? Here's
yes.
Your 3 minutes of public speech.
Hello, this is Bilal from hackervoiceradio.co.uk. If you're interested about us, then visit www.hackervoice.co.uk, and I would just like to say on behalf of everyone at the radio station, I think 1 3-minute is a fantastic idea, giving free speech to anyone around the world, anonymously, to let anything fly. Thank you very much. Goodbye. I know that sounded gay, but whatever.
Yeah, that sounded cool, man.
Yeah.
Gay. No, that was cool.
Yeah. Gay.
You're right, that is a damn fine idea for a project. God bless them for it.
I think it's awesome, yeah.
Mm.
I don't know if they're going to play my thing, but, you know. They'll just send me an email like, you fucking spammers.
Stop hacksawing in our 3 minutes.
Yeah. It does definitely sound like a Skype in. The way, like, they left that introduction and then it went doop. I don't know. I have to call somebody with a Skype in voicemail. I don't know anyone on my list to be able to do that, but... Anyway, yeah. Well, I have to figure that out later.
I'd imagine it is Skype, mainly because of the number, and you can get some good plugins for Skype that will handle voicemails and MP3 encoding and all kinds of freaky stuff. I've seen a couple that I've talked about in the past, and with those you can really limit the amount of recording space that you will have for your voicemails. So you can say, wait 5 seconds, wait 1 second, wait 240 minutes, and then go to voicemail.
Yeah.
And when you're on voicemail, record for 1 second up to however many hours, if you've got the disk space.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they're using something along those lines.
Mm. It's pretty
good on them. Good use of that technology.
And Firefox just sent something into the forums, and it looks like a news link, so I am tempted to check it out. Unless it's a redirect to grannyslapper.co.uk. Yeah, Saf, you don't want to know.
I think I can guess from the title.
Okay. No truth to Google PC or Google OS. Oh, man.
Ooh. Google have come out and said there's no truth to the rumours. Oh, poo.
Damn it.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, oh. I'm just reading that now really quickly.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's not true.
It says there's someone from the CES showroom floor started a rumour about what I reported on last night about Google launching their own very cheap PC with their own very cheap OS on it.
The reason I laughed, sorry, is I read somebody's comment about that news story. Is it said, it sure made the stock price jump.
Fuckers.
I wouldn't be surprised. But damn, man, why not?
That's such a shame.
Yeah.
You know? We can dream. Maybe one day.
Maybe one day, yeah. But that box looks so cool. I mean, that just looks like one of their Google servers that they have. like for companies. You know, you can buy like a Google server and it runs on your internet, and it basically what it does is it provides pretty much Google services in your intranet, as it were, where you're able to browse and search for stuff on your internal network. So I think that's basically what it is in the picture. But it is definitely a really big downer, because I was expecting that Friday, because you said that it will be announced on Friday, did you say?
I said that one of the guys at Google, one of the, I think the co-partners who runs it, he's got a keynote speech where he's going to announce something.
Yeah.
So the LA Times was saying that they've got a source who said it was Google are going to announce this cheap PC running its own operating system. Also, there's this speech on Friday, you know, let's put two and two together. Stay tuned, kids. So he's announcing something.
Yeah.
But it's probably just that, no, it was all rumours. Fuck you, I sold all my shares last night. I'm a billionaire.
Ouch.
I just bought Google Island.
Yeah.
Formerly known as the UK.
Oh, dear. That sucks. But anyway, in ThinkPad news... ThinkPads are to embed singular HSDPA. I've got absolutely no idea what HSDPA is. This is from betanews.com. Lenovo announced that on Wednesday plans to integrate Singular's high-speed UMTS/slash HSDPA service into upcoming ThinkPad laptops. The feature would enable users to access Singular's broadband connect without purchasing an additional wireless PC card. The service offers speeds of up to 400 to 700 kilobits a second without requiring Wi-Fi hotspots. The first notebooks with this technology will launch in the second quarter of 2006. Our new access connections, blah blah blah, 1-2 for software, works with Singular broadband connect and enables users to seamlessly from one notebook to another without any downtime. Okay, so basically what this looks like is it's going to be a built-in 3G service for notebooks, and so basically you don't need to have a Wi-Fi hotspot to be able to go online. You'll be able to browse the net, even if there isn't one available, it will switch to the 3G service and then connect you up to Wi-Fi 1 if it found one. Which is pretty cool, but I have a comment here about that news story, and it says, "And thus Skynet is born. It's not a system. There is no server core. This is wherever part of every connected service device. There is no way to shut it down. This signals the rise of the machines."
Bit over the top, isn't it?
Tiny bit over the top, tiny bit.
Even by our standards.
Yeah. Oh dear. Is this going to shadow every single thing that happens? Like, something really cool has happened. Oh, they're trying to control you, blah blah blah. You know, Skynet. I don't know.
Oh my god, Terminators.
Yeah.
There's a little news story here.
Yeah.
For you. Remember when... it was back during one of the old 2600 meetings.
Uh-huh.
And sitting in the pub, a few of us, and a couple of people stumble across wireless internet access. Entirely by accident.
Yeah.
Which I think was provided by a firm called The Cloud.
Uh-huh. Cloud. My Cloud, yeah.
Well, those guys are now operating in 7 more UK cities. They're dishing out wireless in all kinds of places up and down the country now, such as Birmingham, Cambridge, Edinburgh, Leeds, Manchester, Nottingham, and Oxford.
Wow.
And they're not that secure, apparently. I don't know. However, those guys are going all over the place.
Oh, just a quick note from Firefox. Thanks for that. It's actually... HSDPA stands for High Speed Downlink Packet Access.
So that's what that is. Yeah. Cool.
Good.
It sounds, from what I've read, a bit like what we have here, which is 3G, whereby you have your little 3G connect card and you plug it into your laptop, like a Wi-Fi card. Same thing, looks exactly the same, except it basically goes over 3G, which is just more speedier than GPRS. And GPRS is a bit like dial-up, basically. So, yeah. I think GPRS stands for Group Packet... Group Packet Radio Service? Yeah, I think it is that. Don't quote me on it, but that's what I think GPRS stands for. damn, I'm too much of a geek. Oh, did you hear about the Grokster thingy?
No.
Yeah, Grokster.com, which shut down a website, its own website. Basically, if you go on Grokster, which is spelled G-R-O-K-S-T-R, www.grokster, let me just check that. T-E-R, sorry.
G-R-O-K-S-T-E-R.com.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a .com, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
let me just check.
It is.
Basically, what happens is, when you go on the website, you'll find out that it says, the United States Supreme Court anonymously confirmed that using the service to trade copyright materials is illegal. Copying copyright motion pictures and files is using this... Oh, I just fired it. Using
this... Oh.
Copyright motion pictures and music file, unauthorized peer-to-peer service is illegal and is prosecuted by, and it is prosecuted by copyright owners. There are legal services for downloading music and movies. The service is not one of them. Your IP address is 38.146.13.58 and has been logged. Don't think you can't get caught. You are not anonymous. No shit! the whole way of, like, peer-to-peer is that it's not anonymous. This is not new news. If you go on there, please go on it. Don't be frightened. You know those kind of pop-up things where it says, your computer is broadcasting your IP throughout the internet? No. Your computer cannot broadcast its IP across the internet. The internet doesn't work like that. If everybody was able to broadcast on the internet, do you know how much lag you'd get? Anyway, just to get to the point, basically they're doing a fear-mongering kind of thing here. And they also give you links at the bottom where it's, one of the links is, if you're too frightened to go on this website, which I really don't think it should be, and if you are, go via a proxy, for fuck's sake, you know? then you'd be anonymous, really, you would, because... use Tor. I mean, come on, think about it. Respectcopyrights.com and musicunited.org as well. Now, if you go on respectcopyrights.com, .org, pardon me, is you get this nice little flash thingy where it says, "This is you?" Question mark. If you think you can get away with illegal trafficking in movies, think again, motherfucker. Not that, but yeah. And basically what it says, what it gives is a list of loads of Kazaa people that are either currently online on Kazaa or have been logged or traced that they were online, if you see what I mean. Oh, shit, this dates back from 2004. This shit is old, man. Anyway, so yeah, it gives like Kazaa logs of all the users that are on there, and their IP address. Everybody knows that Kazaa is not anonymous. Everybody knows that like BitTorrent is not an anonymous peer-to-peer transfer protocol. That's why we've created our own truly anonymous peer-to-peer transfer protocol, and we're still developing that, which is the HackerVoiceNet. Okay, that doesn't mean that, you know, we're saying, yeah, man, you get all my wares from it, but we're just saying, you know, maybe you might want to download some stuff from me that is free. Anyway, just to go back to the original Grokster page, it says that it has confirmed that using this service to trade copyright material is illegal. Now, that's not actually true. That's bollocks. Copyright material is illegal. That's not actually correct. What the law stands, as I know it, is that trading copyright material without the distinct permission from the copyright owner is illegal. But trading copyright material is not illegal unless you have the permission of the copyright holder. Which means that, let's say, we were to distribute our own stuff, and our own stuff is copyright to me, you, whoever is on the show, whoever participated and everything, and they will hold apart a copyright to Hacker Voice Radio. See what I mean? Under this law, by what they're saying on the website, it would be actually legal for us to actually distribute it on Grokster, or for somebody else to distribute it, even though we give express permission for you to be able to copy and distribute our own radio show. So it is such a big kind of hideous fucking control freak thing to do, and also it's a huge it's a huge clusterfuck of getting people really scared about nothing, basically.
I don't know. I think this could have probably positive consequences, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
They put it up there on Grokster.com. It comes up with your IP address. Yeah. It says, you have been logged. You are not anonymous. You know, you can be caught. Yeah. That's going to scare the shit out of a lot of people might not have known that. You know, you don't have to specifically know how the internet works and all the ins and outs of it and IP addresses and TCP IP to go onto a website, download a peer-to-peer sharing program and get into it and start downloading MP3s or whatever you want. So I think there is a lot of people out there who are kind of flying a bit blind and they don't know that they could get caught. They think maybe they are anonymous. So I think this could really kind of shake them up a bit and go, whoa, hang on a minute, fuck. I've really got to think about this, so maybe I should learn about what's going on.
Hmm.
Like you say, proxies, for example.
Yeah.
If that's what you're into, and you know, the different technologies, the different systems that are out there. So I'm hoping this is just there to, I think, one, cover their ass.
Yeah.
Saying, look, users, we don't support sharing of copyrighted material. Okay, courts, are you happy now? You know, we've warned people, we've just come out and said we're not here for that.
Yeah.
And two, it might shake the users up a bit and go, oh, fuck, yeah, hang on, I better think about that.
I see, but I think the way they've done it, I personally don't believe that this was done by Grokster themselves. Going on the website is not illegal. Also, every single web server logs your IP by default. Mm. How do you think they're going to be able to, like, serve you the page? They've got to know your IP to be able to send that back to you, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Let's say we purposefully logged all your IP addresses going on our website by using, I mean, the script that they wrote is just a basic JavaScript. Ionix has that in his fucking signature, you know? It's like, oh my god, they're hacksawing me. No. It's actually very simple. And it's been around since, I don't know, since like web pages were created. Maybe I'm wrong. And I just have a really strong opinion about, well, I'm really strongly against the way that they're going about this. They're going about this a whole different way. And I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to infect the minds of those people that don't know a hell of a lot about computers. Those people that are actually scared when those kind of pop-ups come on and says, I think your computer's illegal, infected by spyware. Click here for a free scan. Or your computer's broadcasting its IP. Blah, blah, blah. I think they're trying to hit those people. And those people that are directly downloading stuff with Kazaa, with BearShare, with all those other sharing kind of applications, peer-to-peer stuff. And I don't see how peer-to-peer can be illegal. And another thing, just to kind of cut my rant off, is using unauthorized peer-to-peer services is illegal. So just that point makes it very scary. Who is to say that this program is authorized and not? Is there an authorizing body of peer-to-peer services? Is there like a... Who is... Is it the RIAA that's going to be the authorizing body now? Do you see what I mean? It's like, who then authorizes peer-to-peer services? What if I was to create my own peer-to-peer program and distribute it? Would I have to get some sort of license, some sort of authorization, a certificate to say this is an authorized peer-to-peer? Doesn't make any sense. The whole thing is really flawed, and it has such a strong negative agenda. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, let's say you were on a network, like an internet cafe, or if I came to your house and plugged into your network, my IP would be logged, but it would be your IP. And you may have thousands of computers on your network, but that IP doesn't mean that that's that computer that's using the peer-to-peer or that's going on that website, if you see what I mean. It's just completely, I mean, come on, guys, you could have tried harder.
Just a quick addition here from Shane in the IRC channel. It says it's worth mentioning that not all proxies will hide all of your details.
Yeah, that's correct.
Many will forward your IP address through, and if you are going to do this, you really have to know what you're using and make sure you're using a fully anonymous proxy.
Yeah, so
thanks to Shane for that.
Yeah, on that point, I would point people to a application called, 1 second, I'm just waiting for it to load up. I think it's called Truly Anonymous, and what that does is it basically creates a proxy on your machine so that any traffic going outwards goes via 127.0.0.1, and then 127.0.0.1 listens to a port on your own local machine to that proxy. So your actual machine becomes a proxy. That's the first step. And then is transferred to a whole list of different anonymous proxies out there on the internet. And that's how the traffic goes through. So it is truly anonymous because your IP is never logged, because it never leaves your machine via that route, if you see what I mean. The way packets are kind of folded, packaged, if that's the correct term to use. So yeah, there is quite a lot of products out there. A simple search would reveal a few good ones.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know, have you ever used proxies?
I used to use them years ago.
Yeah.
I got into it a bit for the kind of anonymity factor. But it just slowed the machine down quite a lot. Well,
yeah.
Not the machine, but the traffic.
Yeah.
And the thing was, I wasn't really doing anything that I needed to be anonymous about.
So I just went balls to it.
I just wanted to see kind of the technical side of it.
Yeah.
It's like, right, I'll do this here, that there, and that there. Ah, that's cool. It does slow the traffic down quite a bit, obviously. So I kind of stopped doing it.
Yeah.
But it is something very much worth knowing about.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, one thing that will cut this whole thing out is Tor. It's very, very anonymous. If anyone that, you know, I could do a whole show on the way it works and everything, and its vulnerabilities. There are very few vulnerabilities in Tor and onion routing. So basically, that's one step you can take. That's one example of true anonymous browsing, whereby you you can be spit out anywhere on the internet, anywhere in the world, and truly come from that address, but never be able to be routed back to wherever you are, if you see what I mean, through the different Tor nodes. Yeah.
It's a very cool system, and I think the web address for that is still www.eff.org/Tor.
That's right. I think so, yeah.
I think so, just off the top of my head. I'm just trying to show off. Trying to quote it from my head. Let me just double check that.
Trying to
I'm talking
get
bollocks.
One up on me on the memory thing.
Oh, no, it's just the URL wrong.
I don't even fucking remember. So.
No, that's the wrong URL.
So it's just, is it just tor.org?
I don't know, last time I saw it, it was hosted by the EFF.
Well,
I've got to Google it now.
A quick Google browse, anyway, would sort you out. Have you noticed today's Google webpage? It's in Braille. That's because it's the birthday of Mr. Braille. The geezer that actually invented, he was a French guy who was blind, and he needed to devise a way of being able to read. So he invented the Braille alphabet, and his name is Louis Braille. So I think that's quite honourable of them doing that. And it looks pretty funky.
Nice little
as well.
Sentiment.
Yeah. I got into work and I checked that out and I was like, shit, what the fuck is that? Is that it looks like, is that binary? Is that no? Oh shit, it's Braille. But it's a bit pointless unless you had like a textured screen.
Yeah.
I think that's
don't tell me you ran your fingers all over your monitor trying to read it.
I did. I was like, well, this doesn't work. And, you know, that's the next thing that should come out is textured screens. Where, like, they kind of come out a bit, bulge out with the different kind of three-dimensional things on the screen. That'd be pretty cool.
It'd be great for porn.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. It would bring a whole new meaning to porn sites, wouldn't it, Software?
It really is 9 inches. just to get the URL right for Tor, because I screwed it up earlier, it's tor.eff.org, not whatever I said a minute ago, because I'm a noob and I don't know shit.
Ah, come on.
But yeah, Tor is very cool, and even if you don't want to do any anonymous browsing, do check that site out, just for the theory of it, onion routing and how Tor works. It is bloody fascinating.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool.
Yeah,
that's funny.
What?
Solar-powered streetlights.
Yeah, that's what I was reading.
To offer Wi-Fi internet.
Yeah.
What?
Do you want to read that article?
No, you read
go
it.
Go on, you read it.
No.
Oh, go on.
No.
I'm tired.
So am I.
All right. A Scottish university is trialling a solar-powered streetlight project which will deliver Wi-Fi internet access. The project Sunlight technology is being tested as part of a deal between Compliance Technology CLT and the Aberdeen Centre of Environment and the University of
Aberdeen
in Dundee. The solar panels provide a free energy source. How much sunlight does Scotland get? I'm looking at this as being
not a lot.
Complete disaster.
Yeah.
we should get SCOBY on this.
Yeah.
What do you think? Hello.
Sorry, I was just lighting a fag, so I turned the volume down.
That means lighting a cigarette for all our American listeners.
No, I'm lighting a fag. My rent boy. Send fire to him. Yeah. Before the police arrive.
Man, I'm getting a refund.
That's better. So what's the story there? What are they up to in Scotland?
They are creating a free Wi-Fi. No, it doesn't say it's free. It just says that they're creating solar panel powered street lights, which will provide free energy source for the street light and also for the Wi-Fi or WiMAX connection. Colin McRae. Oh, Callum McRae, sorry, that's a rally driver. Head of the CETL, Scotland, said that the statement said in a statement that the new photovoltaic technology, which will be showcased in Dundee, will mean that no local community needs to be without reliable economic street lighting with the additional benefits of Wi-Fi technology outside their front doors. The plan is to have the project ready for the marketplace before the end of the financial year. AC Director Mary Cohen added that the statement that the pilot scheme will involve not only ACE, but students from the University of Aberdeen, who will be able to play a hand in on role in shaping the technology of tomorrow. That's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome, but I'm just thinking, how much sunlight does Scotland get, really? You know, what happens when it rains?
Yeah.
What happens when there's no sunlight for like 3 days and the batteries run out? Yeah.
Then you're fucked, and it's very dark, and you can't even access the internet
anymore.
Very
dark and rainy and, and Scottish.
I don't know, for the solar panels to work, doesn't it just have to be vaguely light?
Yeah.
Does it actually have to be, like, direct sunlight? Or, you know, it can be kind of overcast and shit like that.
I don't think it has to be direct sunlight.
It just has to be light.
Yeah.
Just sunlight.
Yeah, just light.
Just any light source.
So, like, if I had a solar panel being powered from a light...
Yeah, that would work.
Could I not just run the solar panel, the energy... Could I not light the light bulb from its own power? You could just, like, stick the solar panel in front of the light bulb.
Yeah.
And the light bulb will be lit from its own light energy that it produces. It will just go round in a loop.
No, it wouldn't. How would you light the light bulb in the first place?
It's the whole question of what came first, the chicken or the egg.
Hold a match in front of it.
I don't know. Like, I'd hold another light bulb till it got started. And then it would just go on forever.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, would it just be, like, eternally, like, lit?
No,
because the whole...
Obviously, if that was possible, we'd all be fucking doing it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think the problem with solar... energy is it's kind of really inefficient.
Yeah.
So you're putting a lot of light in there and it's kind of giving you a bit back out. Now, if you can get that light for free, like the sun, which is on all the time and you're not paying for it, fantastic. But if you're trying to get that energy from a light bulb and your electricity meter's going round and round and round and round and you're paying for that and you're crapping out a little bit at the end, it's like, oh, fuck this.
Very
scientific terms I'm using, you'll notice.
No, I understand, and I know many people like have tried those wacky ideas of trying to have endless kind of a loop of energy, but it's theoretically impossible because there's every time you change energy, there is always waste. So, like when you burn a match, that energy transforms from kinetic into potential into light, sound, and heat energy, which then in turn turns into something else. So if you were to capture, like, let's say that light bulb to be powered by its own light source from a solar cell, you'd have less energy each cycle because energy would be wasted by heating the element to create the light source to then turn it back into electrical energy through the light cell energy, the way it converts solar energy into electrical energy. So, I don't know. But it's a nice idea, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe one day.
Yeah. I thought the wackiest idea was the solar panel torch.
What?
Loads of people are like, why? I mean, how does it work? Well, you light it, you charge the batteries when there's daylight.
Sunlight, yeah.
And then... when it's night time, you use it, you know?
Mm.
Noobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like the inflatable dartboard. I mean, come on. That's awesome.
line.
But I do like that urine-powered battery.
What?
You didn't hear about that?
No, I didn't.
They made a battery that's powered by piss.
I heard about the urine-powered car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I've heard about.
Wouldn't a car take a whole lot of piss to get it running?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you could fit quite a lot of piss into a car, so...
Especially if you're drinking a lot.
Oh dear. I'm pretty much out of news. I don't know if anyone has anything to talk about in IRC, any topics that you want us to rant and rave about.
If so, shove now or forever hold your pieces. There's a little thing here that I'm just going to quickly go on about. It's a news story I saw yesterday, and strange thing is, when I see it today, it's dated with today's date. Odd. However, the BBC is opening the doors to its archives and releasing some of its news clips from the past 40 years.
Yeah.
It's just launched a pilot scheme where the BBC has released 80 news clips under the Creative Archive licence. These video news clips cover iconic moments in British and international history from the past 40 years, including the aftermath of 9/11 in New York, the demolition of the Berlin Wall, the 1980s miners' strike, and coverage of the 1966 World Cup final. Now, that's pretty goddamn cool.
Because they're open source news thing.
Yeah, it's they're releasing it for kind of open source projects. If you want to get into video editing, use it for your own ends, you can use these BBC news clips for any video projects you want to do. It's a whole other kettle of fish if you want to use it commercially, obviously. You do have to sign up for the BBC site for this, I found out earlier, but it is a damn cool project and I think a bloody good use of our taxpayers' money or our TV licence money.
Yeah.
It's nice to see the BBC start to open up. Yeah, and release things back to the people who not only made them, but have financed them since fucking God knows when.
Since when they were created,
Yeah, they've got a similar scheme on one of their websites. I don't have a link for this, but they've released kind of miniature drum loops and drum and bass samples, bits and bobs, that you can use for free to create your own stuff with.
Fantastic. So
it's good to see them giving stuff back. And that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I have to say. Can you stop moving my microphone? Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm pretty much newsed out and topicked out for tonight, and we're kind of coming up to an hour anyway, so I think we can kind of close the show off, I guess.
Okie dokie.
Tomorrow is Thursday, and we can join us back for, I think it's going to be the last episode of this week. If you have any news stories that you wish us to disclose, please send an email to radio@hackervoice.co.uk.
Were you going to say hackervoice@radio.co.uk or something?
I was. Like,
you got it all backwards, man.
Yeah.
Radio first, hackervoice later.
Yeah. And do check out the forums. And also, get yourself on frapper.com. Go to www.frapper.com/hackervoice. And get yourself listed on our Google Maps. I think we've already got a few people on there.
Quite a few.
quite a few people on there. What's our thing? Let me just see. I just want to make sure that I have the correct URL for you guys that I'm saying right now on the show, because that would be sort of embarrassing. Not to say that you can't search the website for other related maps. Because I set this up a little while ago. Yes, if you go to www.frapper, that's frapper.com/hackerboys, sign up and add yourself to our map and become one of many. And just to kind of let us know where our listeners are and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think that's a novel concept, a novel idea. There's loads of maps on there, really cool stuff. I don't know, maybe you'll find something that you're interested in, and also you can send in a message to that person. It's pretty cool. Okay, well, I'm pretty much done for there tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all done at this end.
Yep.
So it's a good night for me.
And me.
And from Planet Lave once more.
Good night, and remember to check out that 1freeminute.com as well.
Hell yeah.
Sorry, .net.
Dot something, whatever.
Dot something, whatever.
Goodbye.
Bye.